Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, a wonderful approach. This is your host, Mama Seven, and we are doing radio. We're hanging out in the classroom. We're here to learn, build, grow, develop, all that good stuff. And we get it in the classroom. We learn the things that are important for us to know. In the classroom, this is where we apply spiritual understanding to everyday carnal problems. And so, if you have problems, you know, worldly problems, welcome to the club. We're all kind of struggling, trying to work our way through, trying to figure some things out. And what the only difference between us and most is that we know and trust and rely on God to make it through. And when you do that, you will always, and I do mean always, be the winner. But really, it takes practice to use that trust muscle with God. Too often we think, oh no, I have to rely on myself, or I have to rely on my job, or if it wasn't for this situation or that situation, I'm not going to be able to make it. But really, trusting in God is the only way to go. It's the only way that we're going to make it through. Today I saw a young man who was sitting with his legs kind of open, and he had his head in his hand, and he was beet red. Now, I'm fasting. I don't be minding my business, okay? I'm supposed to have limited energy, and I just can't do this. Anyways, I feel compelled to speak to him, and I'm like, young man, hi, my name is Seven. Can I ask you this wrong? And he was like, and he just kind of looked at me and said, I haven't spoken to my sister, and it's been a month, and we used to speak every day, and I'm just worried, and blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, okay, so now let me ask you a personal question. And you don't know me from Eve, you know, but do you have a relationship with God? And he's like, yes, I have a relationship with God. I know God. I pray. I said, okay, well, if you pray, you know you're not supposed to worry. And if you worry, you might as well not pray. And he laughed. I said, come sit and breathe with me. And so he got up. Now, this is Wednesday all day long because I don't do this. I try not to talk to people, especially people, the beat red people. I'm like, no. But those are always the one that got sex on Wednesday because that's just not my MO. You know, woman, got it. This man, a young man at that? No. Anyway, I said, come sit with me and breathe. We're just going to breathe for a minute. And so he got from where he was sitting, came, sat beside me, and just breathed. And, I mean, we were there all of 2 minutes. 2 minutes, which is a long time to be sitting with a stranger. And at that point, after, you know, he kind of put his head back a little bit and just was like, you know, I feel so much better. And I was like, okay, wonderful. I said, you know, it's Easter this weekend. Now, again, I don't know what that really means, okay, because growing up in Islamic understanding, I know technically what it means, but for each person, that means something different. It could be that he went on whatever. I don't know. I don't even know why I'm asking him. I don't know why I'm talking to him. And he says, oh, yeah, Easter, this is a big holiday. This is what, you know, we're trying to get ready and everything. And I said, have you ever done one of the little Easter speeches? And he was like, yeah, I did. And I remember it, you know, it was crazy. I was like 4 or 5 before my life fell apart. I remember the speech, and he goes on and rattles something off. And it's amazing because I think he's about 30, 35, and he's remembering a speech he did at 5. And he went back and he put his head back to breathe some more. And I'm just sitting there. And then he stands up and says, I feel so much better. I said, well, wonderful. Wonderful. All of 4 minutes. There you go. He was like, I think that just changed my life. I feel so much better. I think I'm going to be okay. I know you're going to be okay. But then he just leaves. That's it. And I wanted to share that story because we never know who we meet, why, what they going through, or any. We have no idea. I don't know who, so still don't know his name. Tell you, never underestimate the power of good intentions. Never underestimate how important you could be to someone, even someone you don't know. You know, a big part of devotions is that community service piece. And I know, you know, most of us have jobs and stuff like that. I get it. So if you can't give time, give resources, but you got to give. You got to be in service. You know, and what I like to do is, what I really like to see is not just give money, but give money to the people that are going out, okay? So if you know Sister so-and-so has the time, pay for some gas to help her get there, you know? If you know that Brother so-and-so is working, has his own ministry, has been trying to get things kicked off, and you want to be the first sponsor, donator, or whatever they're called, do it. But don't forget how important service is, especially right now. Honestly, for me, Christianity, that whole understanding of Easter, is ancestral for me. It's not my practice, but it was definitely the practice of my ancestors. And, you know, now, so this particular Sunday that's coming up, I don't know, you know, why we're having this conversation, but we are. So this Sunday coming up, I'm going to be doing an extra coffee, tea, extra time with my shrine. I'm going to make sure to have some flowers. I've seen a lot of Easter lilies all over the place. I'm going to go to Home Depot and see if I can get one. You know, and it, I have assignments to do. I have all kinds of stuff to do, but I'm going to get that done first. I'm going to make sure my ancestors are taken care of and that my shrines are looking beautiful and that, you know, before I make any plans to go anywhere, that's got to be done, okay? So no matter what Easter is for you, I'm going to say 99% of our ancestors had a relationship with that religion, with that culture. And 99 of our ancestors sure would love some flowers, some extra flowers. You know, it's springtime. If you haven't already gotten your flowers out on your shrine, get them out on your shrine, you know. If you haven't already, you know, looked up, put some special verse, Bible verse, whatever, on your shrine. If you don't have any up there, put some up there, especially for the weekend. You know, you got to remember, and I hope ancestors don't take over my show, but you have to remember that the ancestor shrine is for the ancestors. So no matter how you may pray, the ancestors, 99% of them had a relationship with Christianity. So especially this weekend, go ahead and do that. You know, let's get fancy with it. If anyone that has the purple, I have some metal crosses, nice, big, heavy metal crosses on my shrine. So I'm going to, I have purple fabric. I have all, every color fabric. But I'm going to take some of my purple fabric and drape the crosses. Get into it this weekend. And I swear, when you're doing this, don't try not to be contrary in your brain. I don't care who introduced us to Christianity. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is my ancestors and the time and the feelings, not the facts, the feelings that they got from Christianity. I'm going to be celebrating my ancestry and their desire to be righteous citizens because of this religion. You know, and so I'm going to just ask everybody, with the shrines, especially Sunday, my mind will be decked from head to toe. You know, spend that time. Do what you need to do. Allow your ancestors to feel your positive energy and your love, okay? And especially when you're doing something that's just for them, like not for you, like wrong book, wrong chapter. But when you're doing it for them, it's a wonderful thing. All right, so try to steer the show back to where we are and where we belong. My goodness, ancestors hijacked it and said they wanted flowers. We can all do that, right? Come on now. We can all do that. So today, and also, not trying to get too far off track, but Monday we had the Bushwoman Report. It was awesome. It was, you know, that is our zodiac, astrology, astronomy, all that good stuff that I don't really know about. That's what that report is. And if you can't, there, I have the link, I believe it's on my page, and a couple other places. Check it out. There's a lot of information in there. And you can, you know, we're going to be doing that every second Monday of the month. I'm very pleased with it. I'm very, very happy to see, number one, the phone lines were lit the entire time. Tons of people checked it out in the current and after. It is really a positive, positive thing. We need this, okay? So that went on. And then last show we had in the classroom, we were speaking, we were doing devotions every single moment, morning. Every single morning, from 6 to 6.30. And I know you're like, why, Mama Stephanie, why so early? Well, the majority of us are fasting, fasting food. And when you're fasting food, you got to eat before the sun comes up. So if you're getting up, crack of dawn, trying to make a difference, trying to do that good, positive work, turn on the radio. Get some inspiration as you're going through it. So from 6 to 6.30, that's what we're doing. Last week, we were talking about the commitment to peace. Ooh, such an important topic. And the reason why it's so important, you know, there's a reason why. The reason why it's so important because we have to let people know, number one, you're worthy of peace. Number two, peace is, you're eligible for peace, okay? God said that you can have peace. And then really just talking about commitment and spiritual commitment. You know, often, you know, people's word is not as intense as it used to be. Back in the day, we used to say word is bond. My word is bond, meaning my word is everything. Don't question my word. My word, there's nothing more after my word. My word is it. People don't even do that no more. It doesn't even make it. People get off now. You know, they're tickled by the idea, their ability to calm, their ability to lie, straight-faced lie, deceive. It's almost all big business now, you know? And we have to get out of that. That's not going to get us anywhere. And the commitment to peace also, you know, also mainly deals with that relationship between you and God. How are you going to be peaceful in that relationship? How are you going to be fair to yourself in that relationship? And real important, understanding that peace does not always mean peaceful. Sometimes to maintain your peace or to maintain your commitment to peace, you may have to break a few eggs. You may have to get excited. You may have to distance yourself from someone. You don't know what you have to do, but understand peace may require some movement from you. I know it has for me. I know it has for me. It has not been peaceful. Every piece of mine I have gotten, I've had to fight, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But it's important to know there's a big difference between peace and quiet. Being quiet is not enough. Not arguing is not enough. Peace, real peace brings on a calm and a settling that is not always quiet. So if you want to get a chance to listen to that, you can go to a Wonderful Approach Facebook page, and that will give you, you know, that will tell you where to find all the programs. And I just absolutely love the Facebook page, okay? Today, super important, being obedient to God. And we crashed a little bit of this morning, and when I got off the phone, it sat on me all day, like it's supposed to. But this is a little hot. Because I was like, man, what does it look like when you're being obedient? I just couldn't get that out of my mind. And I wanted to talk, and I wanted to share, and I wanted to build. And that's probably why I spoke to the young man, because it was just on me so hard that I wanted to share the idea of blessing. We're listening. We're following instructions. I wanted to share that all day. I wanted to jump up and down. I wanted to let everybody in radius know, hey, all you have to do is listen to God. That's all you have to do. If I had a T-shirt to say it for me, I would have been just as tickled as pie. All you have to do is listen. And I say that. I don't say that lightly, okay? I don't. I know that it is difficult sometimes. It is super duper difficult. Just say, I'm gonna listen to God. You know, and the reason why it gets difficult is because everybody else in the world isn't doing it. You see? We have people that want to question God. There's another group of people that want to argue with God. We have so many challenges and naysayers and people that, you know, there are people that just want to argue just to be arguing. They don't even care about the answer. They care about the ratings. They care about the likes. You know what I'm saying? There are people that are trying to get you off path, not because they think there's a better path for you, just because they want to see if they can pull you off path. They just want to irritate you. They want to irritate your system. They want to irritate everything about you. They're looking at you, and they're mad that you're peaceful. And they're like, how can I interrupt their peace? Oh, yeah. Let me try to pull them off the path that God has laid for them and put them on my path. Put my agenda first. No spiritualist, spiritual system, priest, babalaw, reverend, minister, yagi, ugan, mambo, none of them, no person of the cloth, no person of the word is supposed to be focusing on their agenda when it comes to you. when it comes to you, they need to be focusing on your agenda. So difficult for a lot of people to do this. I don't know how. I don't know why it's so difficult. All you have to do is literally pick up, put yourself in their shoes, and then look at it. But people don't want to do that. People can't divorce themselves from their own thoughts, their own wishes, their own everything. People can't divorce themselves from that. So they're looking at you with their own wants present in themselves. You know, I teach a class on divining, on reading, and it's a wonderful class. And in that class, I'm going to say 90% of the class teaching you how to stop thinking like you, so you can just be the empty vessel to receive the information. You know, stop trying to manipulate it. You can't manipulate it to be what you want it to be. And, oh, I want to highlight this. And blah, 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 You're going to have to listen and allow it to be what it is. And so that's such a big part of spirituality. But if you're working with someone who's not doing that, then they're not really being obedient to God. I feel as if we got way too many opinions and other people's stuff. So this is when it comes to being obedient to God. First thing you have to do is make sure that you, slash the person working with you and guiding you, is listening to God and not listening to their own self. The information has got to be coming from a higher source than the person you're looking at, okay? It should not be coming from the person. It should be coming from energies and entities higher, as high as we can get it. Incredible the information is, right? But none of that information comes through if you are not even open to it. God's word. I know I have read people and they get the same reading 3 years in a row. And I'm like, okay, let's stop. You know, you're obviously not putting these things in place. You know, Spirit is saying, hey, do this. It don't take 3 years to do this. So the first part of being obedient to God is you have to be open to hearing God, and you have to be open to, you know, just receiving it. That's the first step. You got to hear it, all right? This can be in dreams. This can be in church. This can be in messages. This can be in reading. There's lots of ways to get messages from God. You know, this is why we do prayer and meditation. The meditation part helps us to listen. You're supposed to be listening to what God is putting into you as you're doing the meditation. So we pray and we have to meditate. Okay, family? So first you got to receive the word. After you have received the word, the instructions, then you go and you have to act it out. You got to go put the action behind it. Okay? Can be difficult to do. That second part is usually when people get hung up. It's amazing. People don't mind knowing the word. They don't mind knowing. What they mind is doing. You got to go do it. Stop with the bad word. You know the bad word. Procrastination. Stop with that. Stop with it. Stop. Stop. Stop with other words that, you know, even when it comes to your mission and life and stuff, you can stop hesitating. You can be cautious without hesitating. Stop stop, I want to say lying. I was trying to find a fancy word for lying, y'all, but I guess there ain't none. Stop deceiving yourself as to what's really going on and what should be going on. I think that's another thing that we do, and we do to our own faults, our own shortcomings. We won't be honest about what it is, about where we are, about any of that. I know I have a friend, and he'll tell me a story. I'm like, okay, I get it. Oh, right there, stop right there. Now, that don't make no sense. I know, it's crazy, right? I'm like, no, it's not that it's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know if you've ever seen, like, a TV show that cut too hard, and one minute the characters are in a car driving, and then the next minute they're walking on the sidewalk, and I'm like, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. That's because there was a big omission right there, and the story didn't tell you how they went from the car to the sidewalk, right? Yeah. In order to be obedient to God, you can't do that. You can't have your omission. And then I know people that love, they say, oh, I'm going to listen to God. I'm ready to be obedient. I'm here for Him. I'm here to do my duty. As long as He don't tell me something I don't want to hear. As long as He don't tell me something I don't want to hear, I'm good. That's not how this works. It's not how it works. When you are obedient, you are listening, and the answer is always the same. I was exhausted the other day because fasting in 80-degree weather, being in and out of the building, it'll get you, right? So as I'm trying to go through my day as peaceful as possible and everything else like that, I come in and I'm exhausted, and I had to text a couple of times, look, God's will be done. I ain't got no more. I literally don't have any more. Not no fight, not no argument, not even an opinion. I don't have any more. I'm done. I'm through. And a lot of times, you know, God has to wear us down to get to that point, get to the point where we can be open into anything that He says. Usually by the time you get to that point, you've been through a trial or two. And it's like, look, I give up. I give up. I surrender to You, God. My way is not working. I've been trying this my way for 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever. My way's not working. I have to give this all to You, God. And that's a real good way to find out that it's not working. And you try harder. How do you know when it's the difference between what you're doing is not working or requires a lot of work? Well, you got to ask. You got to pray. You got to put the energy into it. But at all times, be obedient. Now, this is not an individual show. I thank God for that. This is a collective. You're welcome to press 1. You may share your story of a difficult obedience that you had to go through. You can share your story of inspiration for those that are going through a difficult obedience, a difficult time when they have to listen, okay? We'd love to hear it. All you have to do is press 1. Now, let me tell you one thing that came about in this morning program, if you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. One thing that came about was there's a difference between obedience and good. Okay? I think I'm a good mother. I enjoy my children. I think they enjoy me. I enjoy family. We have a good time. Good. So God has given me certain instructions for them, you know, And I have been able to do a lot of the instructions. Some instructions I haven't. And so I never want to confuse good. No matter what, I'm going to be good. But did I follow all the instructions? Take that baby and drop him off at a monastery. I said, I can't drop this. I can't give this baby to the monks now. This is my child, you know. I have to be responsible for him. And, I mean, I'll teach him to pray, and I'll teach him this, that, and the other, but really drop him off at the monastery? What? So that's something I didn't do. And no matter how good a mom I am, I wonder if that's going to be, God's like, yes, you were a good mom, but were you obedient? I told you to go drop the baby off at the monastery. He belongs to the monks. They have things to teach him that you can't teach him. And I'm like, ugh. So there are times when being good may not even be enough. There may be times when it's like, no, you have to follow instructions. What were you instructed to do? What were you told, period, point blank? This is what you need to do. And you didn't do it. Or you're having difficulty doing it. So these are the kind of things that we have to worry about. And as spiritualists, there's always ways that we have to handle things. We can't just turn around and be like, oh, well, bump God. You know, I'm not worried about that. I have other things. I got to worry about rent. And I'm like, oh, so short-sighted. God is high, high, high. He knows everything. You know, and any time that you ever want to be amazed by God, all you have to do, and this, I do this often, is look at a bird, okay? A bird has so many different feathers on it, each bird. So there are over, I think, 300 different types of birds. These are beings that with wings, and some of them fly, some of them don't. These are, you know, birds. Over 300. Why, God? You know, it was like God went crazy with the Crayolas. You know, he just decided to make every different color, different shade. You know, and sometimes the difference, I don't know the difference between a blue jay and a cardinal outside of one's red and one's black, one's red and one's blue. I don't know the difference between a woodpecker and a swallow and one bangs its head and one does. I don't know. I don't know how close these species get, but there's 300 of them. Each bird has about 5 or 6, anywhere between 5 and I would say 15 different types of feathers on it. It has the soft feathers, the down feathers that are close to its body. It has feathers close to feathers close to its eyes that are so tiny, super almost microscopic. Then it has like 4 or 5 different feathers in its wings, so it can be able to either fly high, fly quickly, make turns, stand still like the hummingbirds do, whatever. God put all this work into a bird. So you know he has some dynamic plan for you. You know, if he'll do that for a bird, you know what he does for us. And if he's asking us to do something, trust and believe it is for your benefit. Short term, long term, it's for your benefit. Don't hesitate. Don't think twice about that. But I know for a fact it takes a minute to be obedient. I know for a fact that being obedient to God can be one of the hardest things that you have to do. You know, I don't know, and you know, Mama 7 does not talk about relationships often, but relationships are a big one when it comes to being obedient. There are times, places, and spaces when we know for a fact this is not who God sent for us. We know for a fact there's no question. This is not it. But we'll still entertain it. Why? When you know that this is not, there's nothing godly about this matchup. We're not about to get married. I can't take you to my mama. I can't even take you to a guided meditation. Oh, this ain't it. This ain't it. But you're still entertaining. Why? So, you know, when it comes to being obedient to God, these are the things that we got to listen to and watch for and be aware of. You know, how many times did you stay too long? It didn't take all day for you to recognize sunshine. It did not. It did not. So if you want to take all day, this isn't for you. Being obedient to God also means not playing the fool. Spirit is just, go ahead and put all the business out there, Spirit. But not playing the fool, okay? So when you're being obedient, don't play with that information. Once you know it, once it's been received, receive it. Act accordingly, you know. I don't know how many times. So you have a child and you tell the child, hey, I'm about to start dinner. I need you to go wash some dishes. What does the child do? Go mow the lawn. Now, mowing the lawn is good. Don't get it twisted. Everybody, nice, pretty landscape when you come up. But that's not what God told you to do, okay? And so even though this is that difference I was telling you about good, the difference between good and the difference between obedient. So mowing the lawn is good. It's just not obedient. Because at that point, God didn't say mow the lawn. God said, go wash the dishes. You see what I'm saying? Do you see how you can be doing something good and still not be obedient? And we got to be careful with that, family, because it's just too easy to fall into the trap. And it is a trap. Because if the devil, if negativity, if that opposing energy can get you off kilter, then you off kilter. If they can get you to do something other than what God said, they are winning. And we can't have negativity win. You know, especially shouting out a wonderful approach. You know, we have a lot of people on the line. We have some guest people on the line. Wonderful. Welcome. We do this every Wednesday. You know, but within a wonderful approach, you know, we have to make sure as spiritual leaders that we are absolutely following God's instruction. We can't remix that, because even changing something that you may not even think is important can mean life. It can mean everything. So, you know, when I'm doing the guided meditation and messages are coming forward and people are getting the way Spirit says it, that's how I deliver it, because that message means something to someone, you know. So I can't just say cutie pie. I have to say baby doll, because baby doll is what this ancestor used to call this child. Not cutie. You see what I'm saying? So it's so important that, you know, if we're doing God's work, do it. But do it, do God's work. Don't do your own work. And I can tell you the reason why you don't want to do your own work, boy, your muscle not strong enough. Our muscle is not strong enough for us to do God's work for ourselves in our own way. That first book, the book that I wrote of prayers, I didn't write it. I just compiled some of my favorite prayers and put it all in one place. Right? That book is called In God's Words. Not my words. I wouldn't dare in God's words. Those are words that God has said have value, have meaning. We should be putting them together like X, Y, and Z. That's what those words are. We all have important ministries and missions and everything else to do, but we have to do them in God's time, not our time. See, part of being obedient to God is doing what he says to do and not doing what he said for you not to do. It's a whole other shooting match. That's where the other 50% of us get caught up at. Oh, I think this is a great idea. Uh-uh, not a good idea. Pause. If you do it anyway, you are begging for trouble. And I really want to tell people, how blessed do you think you're going to be by doing what God says to you not to do? And I'm speaking, this is so personal at this point. You know what I'm saying? It's so personal. I'm speaking to everybody, okay? Everyone. I have had to tell everyone that I've ever read before. I've had to tell my own self. I've had to hear it. I've had to deal with, digest, and swallow the word no. And sometimes I'll say, well, this does not look good. Sometimes I'll say, you know, good luck with that. Sometimes I'll say, you know, there are other better options. I try to be nice about it. But when Oracle gives me the message of no, I beg of you, heed the warning of no. There's an obedience. Some of us get stuck when God says do something. We don't want to do it, or we drag our feet, or we think we know better. Oh, you need me to do this now? Well, how about next after summer? Come back during cuffing season. You know what I'm saying? Sorry. Come back after sundress season. I'm out. I don't want to settle down. I don't want to have to listen. I don't want to do any of that. Come back after sundress season. Imagine telling the smartest, oldest, most powerful being to come back later. If now wasn't the right time, you wouldn't have said it. If you weren't the right one, he would not have told you that you want him to come back. Okay, it's just not smart, family. It's not smart. You have the most powerful being who created you and all your ancestral lineage. Yeah, I don't know if you heard me. Created you and all of your ancestral lineage, not just you and your mama. On your mama's side, not no, the whole line. And he tells you not to do something, and you're going to go do it anyway? It's not smart. Now imagine this being all-powerful, all-knowing being says to you, I will protect you. I will watch over you and your family. When trials and tribulations come as they may, I will carry you, literally carry you. I will make miracles appear so that your life is better. I will carry you out of your Red Sea. I will do all these things for you. I have this bubble of protection for you. Imagine this ultimate being saying this, and you think you know better, and you're going to try it. I'm going to try it my way. What? That doesn't make sense. It's not smart. Come on. When you say it like that, doesn't it make just common sense to just go along with God's instructions? When you hear it like that, that the most powerful being, the way I see it, the way I feel when I get messages, is the most powerful being that there is in all of the wonderful guardians and agents of good thought enough about me. I'm just one person. Thought enough about me to send me a warning to protect myself. I'm 100% going to adhere to that. The Most High God and all of his agents of good need me to go do something. I'm honored. I'm honored at the sheer idea of being utilized in such a fashion. Every reading I do, every single one, I am honored to be part of that journey for this person into spirituality, into understanding. I am honored. Part of that honor is knowing that at any given time that I don't follow instructions, that can all be taken away. You have to know that, family. It can all be taken away. God gives, God can take away, okay? I know what God can take from me because I know what he's given. So much. So much. So when it comes to being obedient to God, it's not that difficult for me. I remember one time in my, I'm going to say right about 32, 33, I decided, I'm having this deep conversation with God, and I'm like, God, you know, this free will thing is just more than a notion. I think this free will thing gets us humans in trouble more than it's worth. You know, and I appreciate you giving me the gift of free will, God. You give me the ability to do what I want to do. But I don't think I always have the good knowledge / common sense to do the things that are good for me. So if you don't mind, God, I would like not to have my free will. I'm going to do what you say anyway. So it doesn't make sense for me to even have it. You know, why go through the process? You give it to me. I'm giving it back to you. I don't need it. Obviously, I don't need it. Obviously, I don't need it. The mistakes I keep making over and over again, it'd be better if I didn't even have the choice to begin with, God. I don't need it. Take the free will. I'm ready to become a true Abdullah, meaning servant of God. Okay? That's what Abdullah means. So, and God and all of his agents think I'm absolutely adorable because they're like, this girl, this one, here she is, trying to give back the very gift that God has given her, her and her kind, saying that she can't handle it. She not to, I keep making mistakes, God. I keep making mistakes. Just tell me what I need to do. And, you know, I'll never get the answer. The answer was, look, only angels don't have free will. Angels just do as they're told, period. And angels have a very particular purpose. And they're, you know, they each have different purposes, but one angel has one purpose. This is why there are so many of them, okay? So my guardian angels are here to take care of me. Your guardian angels are there to take care of you. They see this differently, okay? My angels are going to do what I need them to do. Your angels are going to do what you need them to do. I don't know how they work together, if they do. You see? Angels are one-track minds. They do what they do, and then they go back to God for instruction, more instruction. I think that's a good life, me personally. I don't want to be in charge of this free will piece because that is the thing that gets us in trouble. When we think we know better, when we want to make the choice, and I see it all the time. I see it at my work. I see it in my ministry. I see it in the counseling. And I say, okay, look, this is what you can do. You can continue down this road. It's going to get bumpy and twist around a lot. You're going to waste time if you continue that. Or you're going to have to jump across the lane, but it's a smoother path, and it'll get to your destination fast. And then the poor Reed E, first getting the reading, is sitting there like, okay, the path I'm on is bumpy. Yes. It's going to twist and turn. Yes. It's going to take twice as long. Yes. I think, you know, this is what Oracle is telling me. I'm telling you. This is not the path you want to walk. You're going to have to jump. Just jump over. It's only a foot jump. Jump over to the other side and then travel down that one. No, I better stay on this one. I don't know. I've been walking it so long, so far, so I'm just going to continue. Or I get, oh, no, no. I don't know how to jump. I've never jumped before, so I'm not going to jump over there. I get all kinds of excuses, because that's all it really is. I get all kinds of excuses as to why they can't do this, why they can't do that. And I'm like, but God is right here with you. God is waiting on you. God is protecting you. God is wanting for you to do better. Don't you want to follow where God has you going? Instead of leaning to your own understanding? Don't you want to, you know, get through with it? So, God has given us this free will, but he's also given us instructions as to how we're supposed to live our life. So even though we have the choice to do what we want, isn't God wonderful? Isn't he loving? He will give us the choice to do what we want to do, right or wrong. But he'll also give us those instructions as to how to do it correctly. And God will tell you, just like he tells me, you still have to make the choice to be obedient. He's not here to make you a spiritual slave. It is your choice if you want to do this work. It's also your choice to get rewarded. It's your choice to have, you know, the life you want to have. It's your choice. See, I'm going to always try to hit the easy button when it comes to life, you know, and Lord knows it. When it comes to relationships, I'm easy button, easy button. I don't want to go through the bumps or the twists and the turns. Easy button. Bring me back over here. I've never jumped before, but I'm willing to jump now. You say the path is smoother over here? Yes. That this would get me closer to my goal? Yes. No, I'm going to come over here to the easy side. I want to be obedient. If I can summon the booty pops, I will. And for all my new people on the line, I know you're like, did she say booty? Yes, I did. A booty pop. A booty pop is exactly what it sounds like. It's a spanking. It's a spanking for doing something that you know you had no business doing. And it happens. It's very real. It's very real. You know, some people call it a head buster. I don't know, whatever you want to call it, you'd like to avoid it if you could. Just learn how to be, be submissive unto God. So growing up in an Islamic household, the word submissive was a bad word to me. I'm not gonna be submissive. I'm not listening to this. I'm not gonna do that. Blah blah blah. I had a whole agenda done. But when it comes to being submissive to God, it's so easy to do. It's so easy to bend my will to God's will, because I know that's where the reward is. And you can ask me, Mama Seven, have you never had to do anything uncomfortable? Yeah, I have to do uncomfortable things all the time, every day. I have to say uncomfortable words to people. You know, the hard part for me, oh my goodness, is watching people be uncomfortable. Like that young man that I was speaking to, I could see the anguish in his eyes. I wouldn't call myself an empath, but I was feeling everything he was feeling. And I think, you know, I was feeling it so strong, it was on my presence so heavy, because I know for a fact God wanted me to step in there and say something. Because I don't just feel people. There's too many people in the world for me to have my light on like that 24/7. I would be dried up, a little withered up raisin, trying to keep a light on for that many people, right? But this guy, I was being obedient to God. And then when I had to get to my phone and be like, why am I talking about Easter? What's going on with Easter? I had to look at my phone and be like, oh, because it's coming up. Okay, all right. This is what we're going to be doing. This is what we do every year. We got to get the flowers. You know, Sunday I'm going to have to wear a nice, I'm not going to church. I'm not going to church. I've already been for the year. I know I have to go back again. I hear the holiness calling me, but I'm not going for Easter. I'm going to the church in nature. I'm going to be outside in the elements. I'm going to be in the middle of my fast now. That doesn't stop anything with the fast, okay? We still in here fasting. But I'm going to be spending that time enjoying nature, enjoying the idea of resurrection, thinking about the things in my own life and how I'm going to be applying that energy. And also just spending that time. My ancestors, they so appreciate it when I do stuff like that, especially knowing that that's not my first, second, or third language. Still choose to do it because how much I appreciate their sacrifice for me. You want me to sacrifice a couple of hours? Done. You need me to sacrifice some, you know, some fun to get some candles, to get some flowers? Done. Ancestors, done. Being obedient to God by letting my spiritual people know that ancestor tables are about ancestors and all the wonderful approach ancestor shrines need to have flowers on this weekend. Got that, God. Done. We can all be obedient. We can all find ways to really reach out and spend that time and do exactly what God asked us to do without trying to lean to our own and without trying to substitute the dishes for mowing the lawn. Don't do that. If God says wash the dishes, wash the dishes. Okay? Be okay with the sacrifice. And then, one of the last things we're going to talk about, because we have to get ready for the prayer, and then we're going to be ending the program. I got to talk to you about your attitude. Any and everything that you are doing for a spiritual reason, for a spiritual purpose, for a spiritual person must be done with a good attitude, okay? You have to do this with a good attitude. You have to fast, and I've said this a number of times in the morning. Fast with a good attitude. You know, when it comes to precision of language, you know, we're not saying, precision of language is many things. One of the things is we're not saying any curse words, right? But that doesn't mean abandon traditional curse words and come up with your own curse words. Doesn't mean that. It means 100% stop cursing. So even if you substitute, you know, cry with pie, if you meant to say it, you meant to say it. Don't substitute. Don't substitute. For real, have a precise language. Say what you really mean. Say it how you mean it. And don't allow it to be negative. Turn that thing around. Make it an I statement. You know, you want to sit here and talk, oh, you did this and you did that and you did that. No, 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 no. I feel this. I feel that. Allow me to share. This is what I always say. Can I share with you? Can I speak with you? I ask people permission to speak with them. Now, look, when I call you, you know that me, I have already put 20 other people off to spend 10 minutes speaking with you, okay? So when I call you, pick up. At the same time, you know, I'm asking, do you have 5 minutes to speak? Because I want to be considerate that you may have actually been doing something else. I want to be precise in my intentions. I just need a little bit of your time. And I want to be respectful of the idea that you could have been busy. It happens. That's why I ask your permission to speak. And I speak with you. Before I share some news with people, messages, especially in message spirit, be like, oh, she's not going to want to hear this, but I'm like, all right, well, hold on. Let me see if I can set this up. Hold on, spirit. Let me see. Hey. Can I speak with you? I got a rough message to share. I don't even know what the message is yet, but I'll say that because I want to. Right? All of this is ways to be precise. All of this are ways to be obedient. These are all the ways that we can try harder to be better citizens, better spiritualists, better leaders. You know, I don't underestimate the crew that I have. I don't underestimate how strong they are. I don't underestimate how much potential they have. God, when I say God speaks to me and says, look, I don't want you to hold this person. I just want you to work with them while they're here and work with them on this. My brain be like, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. Wait. You want me to invest in something that I'm going to lose? I guess like it's not yours to begin with, number one. This, I just want to share the conversations that we have. It's not yours to begin with. It's mine. Be clear. Greetings. Maybe on one more. Maybe on mute. Nope. Can family hear me? Can I get a text message real quick? Yep, I got it. You look. I guess that was my signal to settle my hot self down. Settle it down. Settle it down. Okay, I got it. I got it. Look, being obedient. So, thank you, family, for staying this while. I guess that was a technical difficulty. I don't know what that was. But don't know what. Look, these technical difficulties, I think they're happening at the same time every time. We have to work on that. Maybe they're saying they want a commercial break right in the middle of it. I don't know. But I'm glad everybody's safe. Please spend some time tonight working on your spiritual expression. What does it look like when you're being obedient to God? Okay? What does it look like? It should look like a newfound peace and control over your life. It should look like gratitude for the blessings that have come through. It should look like, for me, a renewed sense of determination, getting back on my horse, finding out what I need to do, you know, a new sense when I'm being obedient to God. Lord knows I'm taking care of my temple. At 50, I am so happy my temple is still open. It's still open for business. So glad that my temple is working and feels good and I'm able to do things still without assistance of a cane. You know, I was walking with a cane and see how old, maybe 10 years ago. My knee was bad. I was too heavy. Knee was hurt. And I had to make some changes. And that's probably when I started to move closer to working for myself with a wonderful approach. And at first there was some reservations in there about being out on my own because I had a sweet job with Mother Eagle Ministries and I knew exactly what I was supposed to be doing and I did it well. Now you want me to start over, now you want me to be the one up front? Okay. And it seemed like the more I was okay with this new role that God asked me to do, the more I was okay with my knee. Because I didn't have surgery. And, I mean, I'm a little bit lighter, but not a whole lot. I really believe that my obedience in doing God's work helped to heal the knee. And that's not to say that it may not give me problems in the future, but, you know, like I said, 10 years ago, I was 40 walking on a cane. So at 50, you know, most people expect for your health to go down as you get older. And honestly, I can say that my health has been going up. Doesn't mean I don't have creaks and groans. I do. But the more obedient I am, it seems like the more God works things out in my favor. I still ain't got to the gym like I need to. Okay, I'm trying to get my 15-minute floor exercise down before I go spend money and gas and all this stuff, even getting to the gym. Can you commit to 15 minutes on the floor? Can you do that? So it's not the effort. It is 100% about the positive energy that I'm keeping surrounding me, and God keeps blessing me because of it. And I'm grateful for every minute, every second, every iota of it. Everyone. So, moving into the prayer portion. So, whether you were doing a complete day fast up by now, whether you were doing fruits and vegetables all day, whether you are, it doesn't matter what you are doing. For what type of fast? It's devotion. So everyone should be defining some way to devote themselves to God. make the sacrifice, right? One of the things that we're sacrificing, one of the things that we're adding is additional prayer. I cannot say it enough, family. Prayer is important. Prayer is necessary. Prayer is how we're going to get through this thing, okay? So we have prayer in the morning. I know you're like, okay, good. We have prayer in the morning. We have prayer in the evening. I'm like, okay. Prayer number two. Before you go to sleep tonight. I know. But yes, one more prayer. Even if it's one of the simple, it's called the angel prayers, little simple prayers that we teach our children. Now lay me down to sleep. You know, I don't care what it is, but let God hear something out of your mouth. Thanks. Let God know that you're here, you're listening, you're active, you're ready, you're getting your vessel cleaned up and polished and ready to use. Now, don't think that God's going to wait to use you, because God doesn't always, in fact, I don't think God has ever waited till the vessel was absolutely perfect. I don't even think that's possible for us humans to have this perfect vessel. No. Usually not like that. God knows that we're human. He knows that we're trying. He knows that some of us are better than others at certain things, okay? But I know that with the right intention, God is going to use you. And you will be blessed because of it. And I'm all in for the blessing. Okay? So as we're getting ready, as we are, you know, like I said, get open-minded. Get open-minded. You don't know when that test is coming through. You don't know when God's going to put you on a mission. And God puts almost every angel I know is on a mission. Every time I get a phone call, hey, Mama Seven, I passed your phone number along to so-and-so. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for doing what you were supposed to do. Thank you for helping this person get a little further into their journey. And we don't know how far we're going to get them, but just give them a little kickstart, a little something, right? So don't underestimate what you do, because what you do can really make a difference in someone's life, okay? Be a blessing. Be a blessing. When I'm in my shrine, I hear those words so often, be a blessing. And sometimes I'm like, okay, I don't know exactly what's expected at that moment. I just know that the next thing I see, the next phone call I get, I am to find a way to be a blessing. I don't always know what's coming out. I think God doesn't tell me everything that's coming out, so you think I'll run. Yeah. Some of it is like, God, are you sure? Well, we're setting up to do our second annual day of prayer. And I'm like, ooh, God, it's becoming bigger and bigger. There are more people that are excited, that want to come and be a part of a wonderful approach. And not just people, whole organizations want to come and be a part of something positive. It is daunting. It's a little nerve-wracking. And every time I'd be like, oh, God, are you sure? Me? Like, yeah, go ahead. Just be wonderful. I'll give you all the support you need. I'm going to surround you with angels, earth angels, and they're going to help you. And together, all of you are going to create a light for positivity. Just like that, all together. We stay together. We make prayers together. We encourage each other together. We are doing God's work together. because we're trying to make a light bright enough to push back this negativity together. So in doing that, got to get our prayers. We have to get strong individually, because even when we're together, we're only as strong as our weakest link. So don't be the weakest link. That's my B hitting. Don't be the weakest link. Don't be that one. Keep your prayer strong. Make sure that when time for prayer comes, you are prepared. You're